Hey there. Welcome to the show. I can't believe it. We're already into our next edition of Simply Real Estate and, of course, the Simple Podcast. I am your host, Todd C. Slater, the Simple Investor. And you know what? I got to tell you, 2024 is off to a banging start. You know what? We've got so much to talk about. I can't believe what the narrative is happening out there. Of course, lots of things going on in the government. The latest, you know, announcement by the mayor of Toronto. Do you want to hear it? No, you probably don't. I can guarantee you, you don't want to hear what she has to say about Toronto taxes. But you know what? I definitely have a special guest joining me. So this hour, I'm going to have Bryn Lackey in studio with me. Bryn is definitely a professional agent. She's with Chestnut Park. Also, she writes a column for the Toronto Sun, and always great to have her join us in studio. But before we go down that road, I got to tell you, I'm really excited about upcoming Simple Seminar webinar. There is so much we are going to talk to about on February the 3rd. That's a Saturday, 11 a.m. You're going to want to sign up at thesimpleinvestor.com. Why? Well, hey, if you remember, a few months back, we turned around and we did our great down payment giveaway. That's right. We gave away not one, not two, but three down payments. Well, you know what? We're not going to do that this time. We're going to go one, two. There we go. We're going to go two down payment giveaways, $56,000. That's right. You're going to have the opportunity to have a down payment to be able to get into your own investment property. I'm really excited about this kind of stuff because, you know what? It's amazing. It becomes, you know, kind of like this track that people get into where, you know, you're going to create some security for you and your family. I think that's one of the most important things we can do, especially when we take a look at what's happening in other parts of our lives. You know what? Security, having your own control, owning your own properties, this is something that should be very important to people. So for me, it's going to be the Simple Seminar coming up February the 3rd. That's a Saturday. Make sure you go to simpleinvestor.com to register. Hey, if you're not following me on all the social media, make sure you do. Instagram, YouTube, you know, you can catch us on Apple Podcast and Spotify, all those areas. But you know, as I said at the very beginning, next guest joining me, I've got Bryn Lackey. She is a realtor with Chestnut Park. Catch her column at the Toronto Sun. And you know what? Here's the thing. Bryn, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks.
Great having you here.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
You know, as always, it's an interesting start to the new year. You know, there's predictions to be made. You know, lots of people turned around and took a look at 23 in the record books. Holy smokes. Let's talk about that for a second. It was interesting. Lowest volume of sales since 2020, which is on, sorry, no, 2000. Wow. I'm even dating myself more. So 2000, lowest number of sales since 2000. You know, what do we hit around 65, 67,000, something in that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy considering what we did the year before and the year before that. I mean, in 2021, you know, we topped out at about 123,000 sales, almost half. You know, for most people that gravitated into the industry, I think you're seeing some people fall off.
It's interesting. You're seeing some people fall off, and then there are a few people in my office who came in right as things took a turn. They've had amazing years. So it's a very strange time. And I think that just goes to show that there's no real evenness to anything in this market for the last year. And when you look, you know, it would have been a pretty substantial drop off pre-COVID to see the kind of transaction volume we had in 2023. You compare that to when, you know, the business was flying through the pandemic. I think there are a lot of people questioning a lot of things, you know, a lot of come to Jesus moments with themselves.
Yeah, you know, so when I date myself, when I do, started this in the 90s, so before the volumes, right? And, you know, I do remember, you know, 50,000 transactions, you know, so some people get a kick out of that. By the way, that's when we used to have the MLS books, you know, because we weren't using the internet the way we did, and the hot sheets,
binders,
hot sheets, binders, everything else. They made great dining room table legs eventually when you had too many of them. But, you know, it's interesting because when we recap 2023, it is a multiple tale. And, you know, I had a guest on my show yesterday that had joined me. And it was interesting because Richard Lyle, he's the president of ResCon, and we were talking about volume and kind of the tale of the year. you know, we had the Greenbelt debacle. And I know you were here in studio when we started talking about that, where, you know, obviously missteps happened. And again, I'm never going to say that, you know, it's not like we don't need the inventory, but, you know, we had start and stop of interest rates. You know, we've had all sorts of threats by the government. You know, everybody's trying to figure out a solution. Nobody's committing to a solution. Nobody's making a solution happen, but we sure talk a lot about numbers in 2023.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think we were just trying to understand what's going on. I think so much changed pretty much from the start of the pandemic. And the rapidity of those swings was so high that I think there were a lot of people just trying to make sense of what it was and comparing it to X, Y, Z, you know, any framework that might offer some sort of clarity. And I think and this really was driven home to me when everyone and their mother was doing the, you know, 2023 wrap up on social media. None of us knew anything, you know, in the same way that when the lockdown first started, we thought we understood what this was going to look like. And beyond, I think, you know, there's so much of this that you just sit there and go, wow, we're in uncharted waters. And there's just now, I think there's almost some acceptance and some humility around that, where it's, you know, we can't just will our way out of it.
See, I made a prediction last year with Tim Siriano. So we were talking about numbers, and I think he threw out like 76,000 transactions. And I came in, I said, I actually think it's going to be lower. I think we're going to be like closer to 72. And so, you know, and even I got, you know, blown out of the water with the numbers.
I think we all thought we were overreacting to how bad the year felt. I don't think anyone believes that it would grind to such a halt.
You know what? I'm going to be honest though. I'm glad it did. And let me explain why. Cause everybody's kind of like, well, what do you mean? Yeah. You know, it killed the market. No, but what it didn't kill was pricing. Like, we killed volume, we killed consumerism to an extent where buyers weren't just throwing themselves at anything. Mm-hmm. Buyers had to check themselves up, right? Because they couldn't qualify. But what we didn't see, and I know we can talk about, like, anybody that bought, and if you actually wrote a contract in February 22, bad on you, okay? Like, you made a mistake. But, you know, other than that, a few months before that, if you bought something, you're probably at neutral right now. You know, we did see some reduction in some pockets, but in all fairness, there's been a lot of stuff that really didn't tank. You know, we didn't see that much of adjustment. I can pick all sorts of pockets that actually had a neutral, you know, decrease. And when you take a look at it, I'm kind of glad that, you know, some of the sellers have stuck to their guns. You know, and I know a lot of people are saying pie in the sky, you're never going to see 2022 prices. You and I are going to talk about what the future probably in the next segment.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, I'm actually happy that a bunch of sellers said no.
Well, there was a headline in the Star about how prices are holding firm and market has stopped and
bad on sellers.
Realtors say sellers to blame.
Yeah,
I know. And I thought that headline, you know, and I now realize that headlines are never very rarely written by the person who actually wrote the piece. So fine, I then dabbled, and I liked what they were saying. I thought it was important because there was this perception that the issue with the market being frozen, these sort of insane asking prices, was because you had greedy realtors who weren't reading the room. And I had to do a column on this because I was so sick. On social media, it just made me want to like slam my head against a wall because people were saying these dumb agents, like, why are you pricing at that? And as if, you know, we're all just pulling it out of thin air. Like, there are sellers who are very invested, obviously, literally and figuratively, in an outcome. And if they are not willing to deviate from the number they thought, or conversely, if the only process by which they're going to deviate from that number is by letting the market do its thing, that's their right. And so I thought that was a terrible headline, but it was important to point out that there, you know, there were a lot of sellers with the bends. Like, the tides turned so quickly from where that power dynamic sat that suddenly it went from a place would sell within a week, and you staged it, you made it look good, whatever, and sellers would just take their pick. I don't want that condition come back. To very quickly, it spun on a dime, and you had, you know, conditions of sale on purchase of property. Like, it was just too much too soon. So I get that sellers just needed to dig in their heels just to get their bearings. And I think the outcome of that, the sky didn't fall. Prices have held. The reality is all the people who shouldn't have been transacting, who were kind of marginal, and all of those marginal buyers were everywhere in 2022. Yeah. those people stayed home, and the people out there were the ones who were buying for their families, buying for their retirement, doing whatever they needed to do.
Yeah, look, the speculators got shook out of the market, and I'm glad to see that.
That's good.
Okay, and you know, like I said, when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you about, you know, interpretation of realtors, because there is a lot going on in the public about realtors and the part they play in rules and everything else, because it's getting kind of ugly. And, you know, as most people know, one of the reasons why I have Bryn join me is that I only prefer to have professional realtors that actually, you know, work full-time at this, focus on it, focus on their client, focus on the reality of things. You know, it's been a huge switch. And I would say the pandemic was the worst and best thing that ever happened to real estate ever historically, period, bar none. I think what ended up happening in, 2020, okay, was the fact that people have never recognized how important a home is. I think what happened in 2021, people turned around and tried to recognize that real estate is a cash cow. And I know a lot of you are sitting there saying, oh yeah, but that's the greedy realtors. Well, you know what? When we come back, I'm going to ask Bryn, is it truly the greedy realtors that were controlling the market in 21 and 22? Or was it actually a market that was naturally happening? And I know a lot of you probably sit there and say, no, it was the sellers, it was the realtors. I don't think so. And when we come back, I'm going to talk more about that. Hey, listen, if you haven't signed up for our simple seminar webinar coming up, the Great Down Payment Giveaway, that's right, it's back. Join me Saturday, February the 3rd, 11 a.m. Go to simpleinvestor.com and make sure you register for it. And when we come back, we've got more with Bryn Lackey. And welcome back. If you're just tuning in, Bryn Lackey's in the house, and it's great to have her back. So you can catch Bryn definitely at Chestnut Park Realty. Again, you know, great Toronto realtor. On top of that, catch her column in the Toronto Sun. You know, Bryn, you do take a little bit of flack sometimes with your columns. I know that. And because, you know, people don't like the truth. They only want to hear a narrative that agrees with theirs. And, you know, I find that with the show too. So, you know what, if you don't like my narrative, change the channel. You know, I'm okay with that. Or if you're following, if you're following me on YouTube, tell you what, skip to another one. You know, you don't have to listen to our opinions. And that's the neat thing about this world, is you can just change the channel. But one of the narratives that I saw, and I gotta address it because it pissed me off something fierce.
Yeah,
was the fact that everybody wants to blame realtors for the upsurge in the market of 21 and 22. And you know, I saw some posts, you know, and I hate TikTok. I'm not a social media guy really that much.
Good but for you. Stay away.
I saw some of these videos where, you know, people have no idea what they're talking about, saying it was the real estate agents that forced the market up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, you know nothing about realtors, because, you know, in the code of ethics, realtors typically have to represent one party. You represent your buyer, you represent your seller. You know, yeah, we can talk about dual agency and all that crap, but the reality is, when you're a listing agent, you're representing the owner of the property who's putting it up for sale. You represent a buyer. When you go in, it is your duty to represent the buyer, give them the best advice, and then give them the most education possible to let them make an informed decision. I mean, that's what realtors are there for. If people actually think that agents coerced a seller to get a price that a buyer wasn't willing to pay, this is my problem. So let's you and I role play for a second.
Okay.
You are a seller, okay? Yeah. You say, hey, Todd, I want you to sell my house, okay? And I say, okay, Bryn, what were you thinking of doing? And you say, well, you know, we want to sell. We want to get a good offer. We want to be gone in 120 days. And then you come to me and you say, what do you think we should do? And I say, well, let's take a look at the history of the area. Let's see what things have sold for. You take a look at in 2021, you take a look at a sold that said, you know, they listed for $900,000, but they got 1.8, and it's because the agent purposely brought the price down. And you said, well, how did that happen? Well, they got 21 offers, Bryn. And you went, well, I'd like that. And you say to me, Todd, how are you going to make that happen? Well, I said, well, Bryn, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to allow showings, but no offers for the first week. Okay. Mm. You know, I'm going to advise you that maybe you get a, you know, condition report done on the house also. So everybody knows what they're buying. Cause you know what, we can avoid conditional on inspection.
That's 10 out of 10 so far.
You know, so thanks. I'm getting there. maybe did it once or twice. And then on top of that, you know, we have to be prepared that, you know, in a multiple offer situation, that we may not get what we want. So we have to be prepared to, you know, let people say that, you know, we either want a firm offer, we want a sizable deposit, because we want to know these people are serious, right? Mm-hmm. So Brent, I'm going to tell you, if we're going to sell your house for around $2 million, $100,000 minimum, because if they can't come up with the deposit, how are they going to close on this house?
Right.
So we're going to say that we want a strong deposit. Definitely, we're going to sit there, and if somebody asks me, you know, what are you looking for? I can say, look, we want the firmest offer we can possibly get, because we don't want somebody turning around getting cold feet on us, mm-hmm. right? So I have now set you up as a seller. Now, Bryn, you're going to have to do a little bit of work for me first, okay? I need you to stage the house. You need to declutter, because by the way, you know, the toys in the corner just ain't going to cut it. You know, let's take some pictures down. Let's get this thing ready. We want it to look the best possible property we can. You know what? I'm going to advise you the time. You know, we're coming into the spring market. Let's get ahead of everybody, because you know what? If we're first in, we could do exceptionally well. So let's do that. And so you sit there and say, great, let's do it all. We set it all in motion. You turn around. We listed properly. We make sure that we've covered our asses. If it's got a rental hot water tank, make sure we tell everybody. Make sure you got a rental furnace. Got to make sure we tell everybody. Make sure we disclose. You want to keep something, you're going to keep it. Let's put it in the list of exclusions. Let's make sure we've got everything front and center for everybody. And by the way, folks, you can't give us an offer because the seller has requested that there's no offers for the first 7 days. So here we are. We go to market. Bingo, bango, all of a sudden you get 30 offers on your house. Everybody's loving Bryn's house, okay? Whose fault was it? Is it the buyer, seller? Is it the agent? It's not the agent.
I mean, it's a byproduct of the market.
Right. So here's the point. The buyers and sellers determine the market, not the agent.
Yes, I think the criticism that I've explained that to people, and the criticism is, hey, why do you have to add the games? Why not just price? If you want 2 million, list it for 2 million and someone's going to pay for it. And I go, okay, yeah, I get that. That's actually part of the conversation I have, is there are a few ways we can get where we're going. However, a couple things we know about this marketplace. There are dominant trends in this marketplace where you list, you hold back offers, you have an offer date, and that actually is really effective. When you don't, for a time there, if you didn't do that, people were like, what? So you are also sort of at the mercy of these dynamics within the market you're working in. If you want it done start to finish and over, very often in these cases, I think about the families, anything like that, having it over in a week is amazing. So listing it with an offer date a week later, there is benefit to the seller. These are all things that wouldn't work if the market didn't support them. And I think that's your point, and that's what I keep saying. All of these things are byproducts of the market you're in. Once the market took a turn and everything went crazy, and by crazy, I mean suddenly dropped off, and we said, excuse me, where did everyone go? Offer dates came and went. You were seeing agents still trying them, not working. So if the market doesn't support it, it doesn't go. That buyer who maybe they felt, you know, maybe they got hopped up on the competition, they lost their mind a little bit, didn't keep level head. Okay, that I think that's fair. That is a consequence sometimes. I think the alternative, I think that's just also a byproduct of the market and of limited supply, because if you went to an open offer thing, which is what is often used, make it open, make it like an auction in Australia. They've done studies in Australia where it's open. You pay more.
Yep.
So I think that it's one of those things that, yeah, it makes sense that people want to unpack it and figure out who is the catalyst for this and who's to blame. The reality is if we had sufficient supply, if we had, you know, money that cost enough that it wasn't just people dabbling, if people were buying for themselves, if we had all of these sort of factors not coming together to create this frenzy, fine. But this is a market we're in. And my job as your agent and your job as my agent is to produce the strongest outcome with the fewest amount of obstacles and the easiest process. That's what I do. And you can be mad at me for that, but I'm not doing, there is no, whether or not you see that as manipulation, which you may, and I get that.
Yep.
That's about it. And more than that, it's not the agent's fault. It's where we're at.
So also one thing that we didn't consider.
Yeah.
Still one other thing. Okay. And no, but because you see in my transactional history, I learned this And what ended up happening is that if we don't have a reserved offer date, first come, first serve, the true buyer is never found. And let me explain why.
Oh.
Because if you could turn around and let's say the first agent in and they throw you an offer, doesn't necessarily mean the first offer is the best offer. And the reason why is the 100 people that wanted to buy your property didn't see it.
Right.
Because not everybody works on the same schedule, okay? So you list a property on Monday and you say, offer whenever you want to, and somebody sends you an offer on Monday night. What happened to the person that they had to pick up their kids from Brownies or Cub Scouts, or they were away, or, you know, they work a night shift. They can't get there till Tuesday. Oh, it's too late. So the reality is, and because we're all real busy, the reality is that we need to have time at least to see the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on top of that, with MLS.ca, which or Realtor.ca, that everybody just jumps all over, right? And they sit there and they get their own feed.
Mm-hmm.
They may sit there and say, well, yeah, you know what? I'm going to book a showing for the weekend with the agent,
right.
You know? So the problem is that life happens, and we can't expect, if there was 30 offers, that means that it was 30 people that liked the property, but those 30 people probably took 5 days to get there. Okay. And that's the reality. All 30 didn't show up that day. That's called an open house.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it's a marketing period, right? Once upon a time, they called this the marketing period.
Yeah.
You needed time for it to be exposed to the market.
Yeah.
That sort of shifted a bit, but I agree. I think even now, and you're seeing this now where things are sitting and buyers are hovering and everyone's waiting in the wings because everyone believes, you know, not everyone, a lot of people believe that catastrophe is coming and it's crazy to catch falling knife now, which is not my personal belief.
So here's the thing, folks. Do you believe there's a catastrophe coming? Well, I'll tell you what, coming up after the break, I'm going to talk to Brent about this. I've got my prediction. Let's see if we match up. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back. So Bryn Lackey's in the house and we're having a kind of a fun little conversation. I threw my realtor hat back on for a second.
It went well.
And I was going to say, how did I do?
Did you listen to me? Yeah.
You know, it was funny because back in the day, you know, if I'd carry 20, 30, 40 listings at a time.
That's like my nightmare. Boy, when you say that, my chest tightens. Wow.
Yeah. Well, and again, different time, different markets, right? But, you know, the big thing that I'd love to kind of have a chat with you about today, obviously, is 2024. And, you know, I know everybody's wishfully thinking that the Bank of Canada is going to drop rates. Like you and I saw it grind to a halt. And then when they flexed a little by letting the bank rate kind of stay flat there back in May, remember everybody went, oh, look, a little spike in the market. And then, of course, they you know, juiced everybody with a couple more. But, you know, we're in a, I'm not going to call it an unprecedented time because we've had high interest rates in the past. But, you know, in Canada here, obviously, we do kind of have a bit of a crisis. And I know everybody gets sick and tired of hearing it, but, you know, we got a housing crisis. Yeah, we don't have enough inventory. Yeah, too many people. So what's the real solution? We put a bunch of people on the sidelines for the last 18 months as, obviously, interest rates rose and you get pent-up demand. And it's kind of funny. Brent, you know, instant gratification, it's been the narrative especially since COVID, but I think definitely more of the technology era that we see instant gratification. You know, kids are slammed up against, you know, iPads, phones, everything else. Everybody's looking for that quick hit, that endorphin hit. And when we talk about first-time homebuyers, they're entitled to get that property. They got to get that property. And since we've had a bunch of people that had to get thrown up onto the fence for the last 18 months, you know, the fact that, you know, Bank Canada's going to meet, they're probably going to tell us that they're not doing anything. They're not willing to drop rates yet. U.S. Fed's going to do it first. Bank Canada will follow suit at some point, spring, summer, whatever that's going to be. I've got a bet with Dave Butler for a bottle of tequila on that one. But, you know, you should have hopped in on that one.
No, where was this?
Yeah. But ultimately, in the end, here's where we sit, I think. I think that if you wanted to buy or if you're thinking of buying, do it now. Suffer a little with the interest rate, keep it open, keep it variable if you need to. I think interest rates are going to come down. We're going to see definitely the fixed rates come down. But I think if you're looking for a further drop in price, I just don't see it.
I mean, short of some calamity coming that we don't see coming, which fine, that may be. I think a lot of us didn't see the confluence of sort of the war in Ukraine and supply chain getting resolved and all that stuff. Like there are obviously things, but if you were to ask me what I think the next few months look like, if we see a sense that the worst is over, and in terms of the rate environment, I think that's going to be huge, because I think a lot of this, and I work in Central Toronto, which, you know, it's not as investor driven, I would say, in sort of houses in Central Toronto. I don't do a ton in condos. I think a lot of this is sentiment related, where a lot of people, for example, I have clients who want to buy something and they go, well, that's good, but it'll take forever to sell our house. Like, we need rates to come down so buyers come back, so they'll buy our house. Like, there are a lot of these conversations happening around the kitchen table, sitting in traffic, whatever. So I think there's a perception that things will be better. So there's a lot on pause. I think there are a lot of people, there seem to be two camps of the people who would like to be doing something but are choosing not to. They're either doing it because they just want to wait and see. They're feeling cautious because we've had a lot of sort of the rapidity of the change has been pretty intense. And then you also have the people who are like, I don't know, the worst might not be over. I don't want to jump out there. I need, especially young buyers, upsizing from the condo to the first house, having the baby, getting married, doing all the stuff. They want to wait and see because, if there's a 10% correction, like the bears on Twitter are calling for, that's substantial, right? Especially at these rates. But I just don't see what happens that hasn't happened yet if we're on the other side of the hump. And if that's the case, I think we're going to see slow, and this is my prediction, and come for me, internet, do it, I'm ready. You can't hurt me anymore. I think you'll see people quietly re-enter the marketplace. I have people listing. I have people saying, let's start looking again. Like, these are conversations that happened pretty much as soon as the Christmas tree got packed up and put away. Like, this is where people's heads are. They want something to change so that they can get back to what they wanted to do. Do I think it's going to be a frenzy? Once rates come down, I think there's going to be a lot of activity. I don't think it will ever be anything like we saw during the pandemic. So, like, do not misunderstand what I'm saying. But I think we're going to see people joining back in. I think it'll be like last spring.
Yeah, I appreciate that part of your narrative for sure, is that I do believe people will come back in. I do not foresee a mass frenzy, because that was interest rate driven,
yeah,
100%, and speculative driven. And I think that, there's a few people that did get burned, and I'm okay with that. Okay. Cause in all fairness, no, but you know, we had a few speculators that, you know, they just turned around and, you know, they wanted, the purpose of buying wasn't, you know, look, I support real estate investors 100%. I believe in it. I believe it's part of your security. I believe everybody should own investment real estate. Have home ownership, of course, those kind of things. What I don't like is I don't like people buying to flip. Unless you're doing a full reno and you're actually a contractor, I don't believe in the, you know, let's buy an assignment clause and let's flip it just to make some quick bucks on it. I'm not that fan. I don't believe that should be done. I think that holding it long term is the best thing for you, your family, next generation, that kind of thing. But I do see, you know, one of the things I think that people have to be very, very aware of is that I think by 2025, you know, Brandon, I think if you and I meet up, you know, in 365 days from now, I think our conversation is going to be, wow, you know what? There was a bounce in the marketplace, and it could be 5 or 10% increase in the existing values today. And I think that that's what we're going to be looking at. Mm. I think some markets will be a little bit more, some a little bit less, but I definitely see 5% increase. And when people sit there and start looking at, $800,000 home, it's going to cost you $40,000 more next year for sure. And a lot of people say, well, how do you figure? There's no inventory because we're not producing.
There is no inventory.
Yeah, but we're not producing it either. We're not building it. The builds aren't happening. Everybody's pulled back, right? And you, as soon as you get builders shift like they did in 23, like, our completion number went down despite the government said that they were going to push it up. Like, they weren't even close. You know, we needed, in the GTA area, we needed 50 to 150,000 new properties built. We didn't complete what we were supposed to build in the first place, let alone add the extra. Mm. So when people sit there and they say, how can you predict that the market's going to bounce? Look, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to stick my neck way out here. In the next 24 months, your price of 2022 February is going to be the same price. It's going to be there.
Interesting.
It's not, I'm telling you, that's where we're going to be. And people are going to sit there and say, well, how is that? We're not going to have the interest rates. No. But we'll have the demand. And there's a difference between being driven by an interest rate and the fact that people need a roof over their head. And I think that that's where we're going to go. And you know what? Aiden, make sure you earmark this conversation with Bryn. So yeah. You know what? If we're throwing out the simple podcast out there, I mean, you know, we can check it up. But I believe our price is coming back.
I mean, I think the only caveat in there that I consider is if we have some sort of economic event. You know, if people are holding their jobs, then because obviously there's some instability on, you know, but I would say once the banking sector starts losing jobs, if we've already seen a bit in tech, I think that what you describe, I could see happening. The thing that could interrupt that I am I'm watching for, because I work in sort of, midtown, where a lot of banking sort of high earning jobs. If they're feeling instability or they're wondering, you know, last year, I think we saw the hold up of people going, oh, I'm not getting my bonus this year. Cause that's usually like bonus season is move up season.
Sure.
I think that if we see sort of a recession, even a soft recession, I think that may hold it back. But I think it ultimately, whether it's 2 years from now or 4 years from now, I think February 22 prices come back, because to your point, all of what you said is correct. The one thing I was going to say that you made me think of it when you were talking to the speculators, when you started off and you said people, like, how much of this is realtors? Like, can we really blame the realtors? And I say not for that, but you want to talk about all of those people, these young people driving Ubers, working in the mailroom somewhere buying pre-construction, that I blame the realtors for. I think there were a lot of people who were out there and their whole business model was convincing people to get in on the action, buy a pre-construction. They were either still saying, in spite of the fact that assigning wasn't working, they were still saying flip it before you even close, or they were saying buy it, rent it out, you know, repeat, repeat, repeat. I think there are a lot of realtors who got way out in front of their skis making that kind of promise, and that's what's crashing down. And I think that's the other piece of this when we talk about appreciation and prices. I want to see what happens. All of those people, well, they will not qualify for a mortgage now.
So while we wait for the mortgage aspect of it, we're going to go to a quick break. We'll be back with Bryn Lackey. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back. So I've got Bryn Lackey in the house, and it's been great to catch up with Bryn. Just so you know, Bryn is a professional realtor with Chestnut Park, also writes a column at the Toronto Sun. And, you know, great conversation today. And just to kind of recap, you know, we've talked everything about, you know, what happened in 23, 24. I always throw out my predictions. I'm not afraid to, you know, be wrong if that's the case. And we were talking about realtors and, you know, how they had an effect in the market and how everybody wants to play the blame game. You know, that's one of the things. You know, it's so funny, Bryn, that, you know, you go anywhere and you bring up real estate, everybody jumps in, everybody's got an opinion, you know, and I mean, God.
Surprising you're a realtor.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And oh, yeah, all of a sudden, you're, what's the market going to do?
Like, you know. Or they tell you, or they look at you like pawn scum, but it's, you know, we're in a moment, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny because when we actually, you know, start analyzing, you know, all things, you know, I always go back to like the early days of the caveman, right? Everybody needed a place to live, you know, and eventually, you know, somebody owned the cave, and so they could either sell it or they could rent it, you know, and eventually, you know, the lords of the land came up and, you know, you had a barn, you can raise a family in it. So if you want to do that, you can turn around and work the fields and then you can have a roof over your head. I mean, you know, it's so funny that when we go all the way back into the history of everything to do with real estate, and then you bring it forward and everybody sits there and go, the entitlement, it just blows my mind. The entitlement of realtors, buyers, sellers, everything. It's like, it's become such a focal point in everybody's life. And at this stage, you know, even the government, I mean, man, has the government gotten it wrong. I mean, they're not even close. They're not even on the same planet. I don't know where they're going to build this 1.5 million or 5 million homes. You know, I don't know if Elon Musk has put together a little rocket for them to hit Mars and build it. But, you know, when we talk about Canada alone, like in Ontario, give it up. Like, you know what? The one thing, if there was a wish for 2024, I'm going to tell you this. To all government officials, right from mayors, municipalities, provincial, federal, shut up, okay? Like, I'm serious. Just shut up. Don't give me any more of your numbers. I've had enough of your numbers. They're all lies. You guys can't even build an outhouse, let alone 1.5 million homes in the next 10 years.
I mean, it's going to be very hard to follow that up. what I would say, I mean, yes, we've seen that government is not actually particularly good at building housing. I think there was a federal program that, what was it? I think it's 3 years. They built six homes. Yeah. I think I get that. What I will say is at least now there seems to be recognition that this is, in fact, a crisis.
Yes.
Which is actually an improvement from before when it was like, what are you talking about? Everything's great.
It's not our problem.
I mean, yeah, no, and that's not a federal responsibility.
Yeah.
I'm not totally clear on if that sort of magical thinking will endure because we've got this acknowledgement. I'm not sure how much of this can change. At the end of the day, historically, sort of free markets have helped. You know, although once upon a time, if you look back sort of in the 70s, 80s, it was CMHC rental housing grants that got things moving, right? So if you want to, if you know that you do not know how to build an outhouse, you should be incentivizing the people who do. And at some point, I'm hoping that all three levels get together and realize, like, how can we, you know, really come together cohesively and incentivize free markets, people who know how to get buildings start to finish, you know, how do we get simple investor?
Yeah.
Because there are people who can do this, but just get out of the way.
Well, it's funny because Tim Hudak was on the show a couple of weeks ago with us. And when he joined us, he had mentioned that, you know, he thought the province was making headway. And it's because the province was conceding to some municipalities and they're dangling a carrot. They're saying, hey, look, if you build this many houses, we're going to throw you a hospital. We're going to throw you an arena. We're going to do this. And hey, look, I'm all for bribery when it comes down to getting the end result there, yeah. Right? Because it made sense. It gave them a purpose to do it. But then...
That was actually pretty bold, too. Look, like, I saw that and I was like, wow, okay. Like,
it's actually probably the best effort mm-hmm. we have seen in years.
Yeah.
Okay. It really, like, I will give the Ford government kudos and no, hey, don't worry, don't jump on me. But I'll give them kudos for pulling that one out of their hat. The problem is that they completely screwed themselves with the implementation of everything with the green belt and everybody pulled back. So even the developers that were going to build in areas that weren't green belt actually pulled back. You know, they've pulled back for financial reasons. They've pulled back because they don't trust the government right now. You know, there's that fact that, you know, they just don't have a lot of confidence in everything everybody's saying. So now we've got, you know, all the major, and you know what? If you could get all the private sector, all the private builders to take their hands out of their pockets, they could solve this problem. I mean, there are some incredible machines out there. These guys can knock out homes like no tomorrow, and they just need government to get out of their way.
Yeah.
But with them turning around, and you know, I found an interesting fact out that not only for every single door that's going to get built do they charge $130,000 in development charges. What I didn't know, and this is what I just found out from a little inside source, was the fact that the developer has to write the check for the $130,000 before he actually puts the shovel in the ground. So in other words, he can't sell it, close on it, and then pay the development charge.
Oh, it's up front.
He's got it up front. So when you talk some of these major developments, the builders are getting jammed for $100 million before they can stick a shovel in the ground. So they're paying the government, they're paying it forward as opposed to being allowed to collect it. And how in this interest rate environment...
Yeah, there's no capital. So that's a brilliant idea
yeah,
for the government.
Yeah. So this makes so much sense. You know, if the government was smart, and here's my suggestion, and to all the major builders out there, I am in your corner for this one. Why don't you turn around and say, within 60 days of completion of the unit and you've collected your funds, that you pay the government? That's it. Like, you know what? So you're not getting it up front, but you're getting it on the backside and you'll get your money. But instead, they're jamming everybody. And look, nobody wants to write a check for $100 million just to get started.
It's like, it boggles the mind. Like, it renders one mute. You know, you hear it and you go, okay. And you get the idea of development charges. I think they came from the original idea of, okay, you're putting up this building. We actually need to service it with water and drains and garbage and schools. Well, they don't do the schools. They don't. Like, this is the interesting part that I find confusing. Because where I live, there is a stretch of, there's 30 in the span of, I want to say three subway stops. There will be 30 development applications on a stretch of Yonge Street.
Well.
Okay, so explain this to me, because my kids go to school in the area and their schools are full. Like, there's a waiting list. Mm-hmm. You know, they're overserved. Where are these people going? One building, the one that's going up on my corner, has 5 parking spots in it because they got rid of parking minimums. Explain this to me, because there is no street parking. There's been a 2-year waiting list for that. So all of these decisions are being made, and I think it's great. You know what? transit rich density, go for it. Incentivize municipalities to just approve. You're going to be dinged if you, you know, slow it down for NIMBYism. Sure, but hold on. Under the NIMBYism is our reasonable concerns of where are these people going? What subways are they riding? Because I, living literally steps from Yonge Street, I see at least once a week hordes of people on Yonge Street having to walk because the subway is down for some, you know, God for no reason. God,
that's a different problem.
Right? So if you talk about all of the services that make up a city, development charges at their core make sense because a city is not just a building. But are those being used? Because thus far, we're going to have all of this development, all of these doors, as you put it, but none of the infrastructure to support it. So as much as I'm happy, it's like on the other side of that, they're going to go, oh, wait. Huh? We're going to have school busing out to Mississauga probably, because that's the only place you're going to go to school. So I just think there's a lot of conversations happening here. And it's interesting because none of them are happening together.
No, and there's no cohesive approach to anything.
So it's crisis upon crisis.
Yeah, and it's mismanagement. And that is definitely the narrative of 2023. And we'll see what 2024 holds.
I assume more of that.
Yeah. So, Bryn, listen, thanks for joining me. You know, great having you back on the show. And you know what? It's always a pleasure doing the show when Bryn's in the house. And don't forget to sign up for the Simple Seminar webinar coming up on Saturday, February the 3rd, 11 a.m. Join us in house. It's going to up your chances of getting the great down payment giveaway. We're giving away not one, but two $56,000 down payments. It was such a huge hit the last time. That's why we're doing it again. We only have room for 150 in house. And then you can catch us on the webinar if you can't get here. And you don't want to miss out on that. I do want to give a shout out to Aiden. He has made this show simple as usual. Of course, Ian Grant at head office. And I will be back next weekend as usual. I'm your host, Todd C. Slater. You've been listening to Simply Real Estate right here on News Talk 1010 Toronto.